I'd like to start the message tonight with a question, and I do like you to respond, because I know we ask a lot of rhetorical questions from the pulpit, but this time I'd like you to respond. From a Christian perspective, what is our purpose? What are we called to do? You have it up there as well, see? Don't forget. Okay, so let's see. From a Christian perspective, what is our purpose? What are we called to do? Someone. Excuse me? Love your neighbor. That's good. Okay. Worship the Lord. Okay. Spread the gospel. Anything else? Make disciples. That's what we just learned tonight. Very good. Be an example. All right, we got some really good answers. Now, what I will be speaking about is kind of part of a lot of the things that you mentioned. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. He called me to serve him. And the title of my message tonight is, Why Serve God Today? Why Serve God Today? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, we see that Jesus is speaking about a problem, a crisis. He said to his disciples, The harvest is great, but the workers are few. And it seems like we're facing the same issue, the same problem in the churches nowadays. There is a lack of true servants. There is a lack of people who have this deep desire in their hearts to serve the Lord. And so the question arises, why is that? Why is there a lack? And there is a few aspects I picked up, a few reasons why that is happening, and obviously there is more than that. The first one is people are very comfortable because of comfort. People are very comfortable where they're at. They're very comfortable coming to church and being served. Why go the extra mile? Why do more when you have such a great life, when you've been served so well, when you are able to just sit and worship God? Why start serving? It's comfortable. And the world in which we live loves to be comfortable. And companies invest millions of dollars so people are comfortable. So you get the most comfortable couch at home and all that, right? Then, second reason, people are busy. And when we speak of busyness, we speak of priorities, right? People have other priorities. Their priorities are somewhere else. So they're busy when it comes to serve God. Then another reason is they don't know how. Connected to this is the lack of interest. We are living the times when you have the most information available, but still some people use this excuse and say, I don't know how to serve the Lord. And that obviously also speaks about lack of interest. Four, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And connected to that, we can say, I don't know what gifts God gave me, or if God even gave me a gift. Five, conflict. Because of conflicts in our own lives, sometimes we don't feel worthy to serve the Lord. I'm not worthy to serve him because of what I've been through, what happened in my life. Or maybe conflicts in the church. This church has so many conflicts, it's not worthy of me to be served. Or people are just hurt in their hearts because of either conflicts at home or conflicts in the church. And for that reason, they're not able to serve. They're discouraged, they're disappointed. Six, no one asked me. I don't serve because no one asked me to serve. I've been here for 3, 4, 5 years and no one called me. No one's asking me, hey, what's going on? Do you want to sit down, drink a coffee or whatever? No one asked me. Seven, people don't serve because they say they're burned out. I have served so much that I had to take a break. I'm burned out. I can't serve anymore. You hear that a lot nowadays as well. Eight, I'm serving only outside of church. Have you heard people say that? I'm only serving outside of church. Now, there is cases where pretty much they're trying to tell you that their priorities are higher somewhere else. It can be some kind of a pride, but also it can be like looking at the positive aspect. Maybe your church is not having that ministry that he's doing. And so he's kind of forced to do that ministry somewhere else. So, of course, I'm trying to be as objective as I can with these examples here. Then nine, I only serve in certain positions. The picky type of people, the picky type of servants. I only serve if I'm worship leader. I only serve if I preach every second Sunday. I only serve if I get this position. Yeah, then 10, I'm not serving because I'm not appreciated enough. Why would I serve? Because no one appreciates my service. 11, I don't get anything out of it. Yeah, a selfish type. I'm not getting enough. The business type, I'm not making enough money. Why would I waste or use all this time that I can do something else with, you know, have fun with my family? Why would I serve? I'm not getting enough. I'm not paid enough. I'm not getting anything out of it. 12, the church's vision, leadership, style, doctrine is not compatible to me. This is why I don't serve. 13, this list goes up to 100. I'm just kidding. Okay, 14 points. 13, I don't serve because my spouse doesn't let me. This is a funny one, but you know, this happens once in a while. Not directly, no one comes and tells you my spouse doesn't let me serve, but we do notice, you know, Pastor Lazar, Pastor Doreen for sure saw this in their long time of ministry. People are getting married, you know, young men of God that served the church. They served. Every day they were there. They got married and zoop, gone. And you don't see them anymore. And honeymoon for 50 years. They're gone. That happens sometimes. It's very unfortunate. Something's happening there. 14. This is a very sad one. I don't want to. I don't serve because I don't want to. All right, so 14 reasons why people don't serve. Now let's see why we should serve God, which is also the title of my message. Why serve God today? First point, because of who God is and what he has done. Because of who God is and what he has done. And the first sub-point here is, because God is the Lord. We serve God because he is the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 3. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I want to serve the Lord because he is God. He is the Lord of the universe. Now, if someone is listening to me right now, Most probably not in this church. I pray that that's the case, obviously. But maybe online. And you haven't met God yet. Maybe that's the first sermon you get to listen. I would be feel very honored. I'm just going to give you one quote to look at and think very deeply about. Norman L. Geisler said, "God has provided enough evidence in this life to convince anyone willing to believe. Yet he has also left some ambiguity so as not to compel the unwilling." Imagine you would get the chance to serve your role model for an entire day. Of course, I don't know who your role model is. But let's say, you know, everyone has a role model, most probably. Everyone has a person, a superstar, or whatever they look up to. Imagine you would get the chance to serve them for an entire day. Wouldn't you feel honored? Now, think about the fact that you have the chance, you have the possibility, you have the honor to serve the Lord God who created the universe. How honored we are to serve God. What a privilege we have. This by itself should arise in us this deep desire to serve the Lord. Amen? Two, the second reason why we want to serve the Lord is because of Jesus Christ's inspiring example. As I said, everyone looks up to someone. And whenever you learn a trade, whenever you go and you're a trainee at a job, you learn from someone. Now, when it comes to serving God, God the Father has not left us without an example. He has given us the perfect example of a true servant. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down on earth so we can learn what it means to be a true servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet. Now, this is very special as an aspect for a teacher to wash his disciples' feet. But it is even more special knowing who Jesus Christ is. It's the Son of God who humbled himself so much to wash the feet of his creation, of man. Imagine if King Charles, who just became king, would walk down the streets of London and would pick a person and say, "Hey, I'd like to come and wash your feet." Okay, that would be weird in nowadays culture. So let's pick something else. He would say, "You know, I'd like to serve you guys for a day. I'll come and cook for you for 2 hours and spend some time with you." How plausible is something like this? Would you expect the king, Charles, to do something like this? Most probably not. The Son of God came down and he washed his disciples' feet. A true servant. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He multiplied the bread. He calmed the storm. He even paid Peter's temple tax. You know, Jesus Christ is the perfect, most awesome servant and our perfect role model. Praise the Lord. Then thirdly, the third reason why we should serve our Lord is because of Christ's love. Now, in order for us to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, I think we really, really need to sit down or get on our knees and pray to God, the Holy Spirit, to open up our mind, to give us this divine understanding. of how great Christ's love is for us. You know, we read the scripture and we know it. And I'm sometimes shocked looking at my life, the way I live my life, on how little it impacts me. It's so sad. And I do believe that if you have this deep desire and you pray to the Lord, Lord, reveal more to me your love. Make me understand your love more. So that you appreciate what Jesus Christ has done. So that you understand how desperate, how hopeless your case is before the Lord. If you do not understand how hopeless your case is before God, you will not appreciate His love. You will not appreciate His sacrifice, Jesus Christ's sacrifice. You know, someone said, until Christ becomes our treasure, we do not know what it is to be loved by God. There was a missionary who was called to a convention. And he said, and the pastor said, can you please ask the congregation to donate? They just don't seem to want to donate, you know? They want to give any money for the mission. Maybe you can encourage them, you know, coming from your missionary trips and all that. Maybe you have some nice story. We already read to them Hebrews 13:16, where the Word of God says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. We read to them Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. So the missionary asked, so you read to them the words of Jesus Christ and it didn't move their hearts? You read to them the words of God and it didn't move their hearts? If the word of God does not move their hearts, what do you think I can do? Think about this. If this word does not move your heart anymore, if your heart is as rock solid that you read this word and it doesn't transform you, it doesn't produce change in your life, what do you think is going to produce change in your life? What is going to cause revival in your life if when you read the Word of God, it doesn't transform you, it doesn't change you, it doesn't give you the desire to serve the Lord, to be different? If the Word of God does not change you, if the Word of God has no more power over you, I'm wondering what will. The second reason why we need to serve the Lord today is because your service is desired by God. Now, the first big point was because of what God, who God is and what He has done. And here we looked at God is the Lord, the inspiring example of Jesus, and Christ's love. Now we look at the next big point, which is because the Lord desires you to serve Him. And we see that the Lord desires us to serve Him by the fact that He created us and called us to serve Him. In Ephesians 2:10, we read, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. The very reasons why God created you, or part of it, is so that you serve the Lord, so that you do the good deeds that He planned long ago for you. And then Galatians 1:15 that I already read, but God in His grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve Him. Even before I was born, He already called me to serve Him. And that's how we understand that God uses even children for His service, babies for His service. Service doesn't stop. Galatians 5:13 and 14, For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You have the freedom. You have been given the freedom in Christ Jesus. Use it to do what? To serve one another in love. God desires us to serve him. And then, because God gave you a spiritual gift, God desires for you to serve him, and the way he's showing you that is by giving you a gift. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you. Okay, you remember in the beginning, one of the excuses was, I haven't received a gift. Not accurate. Each one has received a gift. So, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Why does God give gifts to his children? Because you have value in his eyes. Now, I don't know how much the people around you see the value that God put in you. But I'd like to encourage you tonight and tell you that even the people that grew up with Jesus, the people from his hometown, didn't see any value in Jesus Christ. Listen what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 13, 53. When Jesus finished telling these parables, he left that place and went back to his hometown. He taught in the synagogue, and those who heard him were amazed. Where did he get such wisdom? They asked. And what about his miracles? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't Mary his mother? And aren't James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas his brothers? Aren't all his sisters living here? Where did he get all this? Sounds like an interesting question. But see what happens after that. And so they rejected him. It's kind of absurd, right? It's kind of absurd. How can he do such miracles? How does he have such wisdom? The response to it, oh yeah, we know him. He grew up here, so rejected him. It's like, I really love this guy's voice. I really love how he worships the Lord. But I reject him. Why? I reject him. People are rejected for so many reasons nowadays. You can be rejected because your parents are not successful. You can be rejected because there is no gain in promoting you in service. And yes, we're speaking in church service. This kind of stuff happens. People might be rejected because they unveil the sinfulness or laziness by serving according to God's will. The sinfulness and laziness of other servants in the house of the Lord sometimes. People might be rejected because they're not as educated as the others. People might be rejected because they don't have the right looks. People might be rejected because, well, maybe there's not even a reason why. It's just like, kind of don't, something about you is off. We can't use you for service. There's all kinds of people, reasons why people are rejected. I don't know if you're rejected. I don't know if you tried to serve the Lord and you were rejected. What I can tell you is that it happens in this world that people get rejected. Jesus Christ was rejected, but that's not a reason to stop serving. Jesus didn't stop serving because the people in his hometown rejected him. He continued to serve the Father. Now, I do want to flip the coin. I want to be fair. Maybe there's people, godly people around you. And if you're here at Emmanuel, I know that there's godly people around you. And you've been here for very long. And no one saw any gift in you. Not even you know what gift you got from God. My question to you is, if not even you know, the people around you know, what has happened? How little have you put your gift to use that even you forgot about it? Have you maybe buried your talent? Have you buried your gift? Look for it. Pray to the Lord. Say, God, I want to serve you. I know you gave me a gift. I know I have value in your eyes. I want to serve you, Lord. Open up my mind to understand what you want me to do. Pray this dangerous prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do for your kingdom today? Pray it in the morning, not when you go to sleep, because God will give you some ideas when you go to sleep and you're going to have to drive somewhere. If you pray it in the morning, it's easier because the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And if you try it, you'll see. There is a lot of work in God's kingdom, and God does speak to his people if you honestly, earnestly pray a prayer like this. And then thirdly, the third reason why, and actually, before we go to the third reason, I'd like to say something to the Romanian community. I hope you won't feel offended. But I don't believe it when a Romanian tells me that he hasn't gotten a gift from God. You know why? Because Romanians are such good critics. And the critics are usually sitting in the jury. They're the experts. So if you're one of those experts, my question is, when are you finally going to start your ministry? When you see all those things that are not right, my question is, maybe it's only you who sees them. When are you finally stepping in and doing something about it? God can use you. If you see something's wrong somewhere, then your prayer should be, Lord, give me the ability, give me the power, give me the anointing to do something about it. Amen. Maybe that's the reason why God is even showing you all those things. I hope no one got offended. The third reason, because of the results that happen when you serve the Lord. The third reason why we should serve God is because of the results that happen, because of the transformation that happens when you serve him. And here the first one is the spiritual fulfillment that is given to those who serve him. Now, who in here is good professionally speaking at what they're doing? I'm just raising a hand to encourage you to raise a hand if you want to, okay? Very humble people. Okay, praise the Lord for Aaron. I know there's more, just very humble. They don't want to raise their hands. There is people here in this room who are very gifted in professionally speaking in what they do in this world, right? Very talented, very good at what they do. And I'm speaking to you because you understand what I'm talking about right now. Isn't it nice when you go to work and your manager passes you smiling? The supervisor passes you smiling and maybe he tells you, man, I'm so glad. Did you raise a hand, Kyle? You're one of them. Yeah. You know, and then the manager passes smiling and says, man, I'm so glad you work for us. I'm so glad you're here. You're doing such a great job. You know, I'm so sad when you went on vacation because now we have so many things to fix. I'm glad you're back. It's just, you feel great, you know, when people appreciate you at your workplace, right? yes. How much more fulfillment do you receive in your heart when you know you're doing a great job for God's kingdom? That's not pride. It's great, you know, to have that good feeling when you know you did something for the Lord and it turned out well. It's a blessing from God that you feel well about it. Now, of course, it is a little dangerous too, because very often the appreciation that we receive for the work we do comes from people. And there is an example here that my dad told me when I was already very little, because he wanted to make sure that I get things right. We were sent to do music, to play music from a very early age. And we had very often in Austria, you have a lot of recitals. I don't know how often you have recitals here in the States, but in Austria, we had at least 2 recitals every year. And so one day, that my dad tells me, you know, there was once a boy who went and played his song before a huge audience. And when he was done, the entire audience got on their feet and clapped, and they were so amazed, and they shouted. But the boy left that place very sad. The reason why is because after he was done, he looked at his professor. And his professor was not happy with his performance. That boy, you know, it didn't matter how big the crowd was. What he really cared about is to impress, to make his professor happy. I don't know how big the crowd will be that is going to applaud you for what you do. But whenever you go home after you serve the Lord, talk to your professor in heaven. Talk to God and ask him, Lord, how much did I honor you through what I did? How much did I glorify your name? Were you glorified through my service today? Analyze yourself, your heart before the Lord. Listen to his voice. Because that's what matters. And it's so great when the reversal happens. And the reversal happens when the entire crowd is silent. And the rejection happens. They want to get rid of you. But God keeps saying to you, continue to serve because I have a plan with you. Did that happen in the Bible? What about Jeremiah? Locked up in prison. We don't want to hear your voice. We're locking you underneath the earth. Somewhere down in Peshtera. So we don't hear your voice anymore. And God says, you need to continue to serve. You need to continue to prophesy. Listen to your master's voice. Listen to the voice of God. I may be able to speak the languages of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 2. You're getting to know the Lord on another level. The second part of this third aspect of tonight's sermon is that you're getting to know the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you get to know him on another level. A person came once to a pastor in a huge mega church, over 10,000 people. And a person is telling the pastor, you know, I wish, pastor, you'd have a little more time for me. I wish you'd have a little more time to spend with me, to talk to me. The pastor says, you want to spend more time with me? That's great. Come and serve. And you see how much time we'll spend together. When you go to serve, you immediately end up spending time with the other person because you're getting close to him. You're working together for the same purpose. You want to get closer to the Lord. You want to hear more of his voice. You want to see his miracles. You want to see how God works. Start serving him. The more you serve him, the more you will see his powerful and mighty hand. And I can testify to that. I saw this happen through me through worship. But I tell you, and it's just, I'm telling you very objectively. I've never seen it and happen so powerful than with the pulpit ministry. That's why I give so much value to, generally speaking, to the pulpit ministry, like to preaching, generally speaking, in a church. God values that very, 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 very much. And I've seen his powerful hand through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come and you say something, and you just prepared, and you say whatever you plan to say. And then the person comes and says, that was the exact prayer I had when I came to this place. And I said, Lord, please tell me that tonight. And God uses you to say the right words. Isn't that amazing when the Holy Spirit uses you? The more you serve the Lord, the closer you get to Him, the more you will see His mighty and powerful hand. You want revival in your heart? You want revival in your family? Start serving the Lord. Serve Him more and more. Get on another level with God, and you'll see more of His power. And then three, the third benefit is that you become more like Jesus. The more you serve the Lord, the more you become like Him. And what is there greater in this world than that? I'll tell you another example, and you might have heard it before, and it has some ambiguity to it, some question marks if you analyze it very clearly, but it still serves a very great, very good purpose, and for that reason I decided to tell you this little story here. There was a group of salesmen who flew to a different city, and when they finished whatever they had to do in that city with their work, they ended up being late, and so they were rushing through the airport to catch their plane and fly back home. As they were running through the airport with their briefcases and everything in their hands, by mistake, they knocked off a table that held on display apples. One of those salesmen stopped and looked back and saw how the apples flew all over the floor. But as he looked closer, he saw that behind that table there was a young girl. And she just tried to look, to feel, to see where those apples went. Very soon he realized the girl was blind. He got close to her, and he said, I'll help you get all those apples. And very quickly he helped her, and he got all the apples and put them back into the basket. And then he said to her, for the damage I caused you, I'm going to give you this amount of money. As he was about to leave, the girl said, sir. He said, yes. Are you Jesus Christ? Are you Jesus Christ? Isn't it amazing when you do something for the Lord and you serve God in such a way that people confuse you with Jesus? When you're the hands and feet of Jesus, how we often say, what is there more beautiful? What is there more, what is there greater than this? And be a servant of Jesus Christ. Be confused with Jesus Christ. Make people think when they look at you, they hear Jesus. They see Jesus in you. Be a reflection of Jesus Christ through what you do, through what you say. May God help all of us. We become true servants of God. Amen.